This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 272. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Three is an evil number. Is Superman a scam? Let's do some wandering. Angel Runs Out Season 9. And Boy Blue is back, and he's pissed. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, September 1st, 2013. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. Or you can subscribe via iTunes, where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Justice League number 23 by Johns and Rice. So the Trinity War concludes in this issue.
It didn't drag on nearly as long as I thought it would. It was a nice short one.
Yeah, and they were forced to finish it up so they could get into next month's Villains Month.
Now, do you suppose they had it planned to funnel into Villains Month?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The story is told by this mysterious outsider, and we get some great artistic interpretations of classic JLA stories, including Starro and Amazo. Back in the 60s, all the villains had O at the end of their names for some reason. And we learn how the Outsider orchestrated some of them.
Should that be the Outsider-O?
Yeah, the Outsider-O. It turns out that he slipped through a doorway during the original Darkseid battle. So the first JLA story from 5 years ago in the new continuity, he was actually involved in that. Along with a girl, and all you see is a silhouette, and we don't know who that is.
Yet.
And we learn that the Outsider is working for his master, and that Pandora's box can open a doorway for his master to enter our world.
Because apparently it's like a mother box.
Yeah, it's their version of a mother box. Constantine says he'll hold on to the box because his soul is already corrupted, but all the members of all the leagues want it because it's corrupting all of them. So they're all fighting among each other. We get these multiple double splash pages of the battle, and one of them is kind of landscape. You have to turn the comic book on its side to see it. At one point, Clark is apparently jealous of Bruce over Diana. Is that something he's thinking subconsciously, or was it created by Pandora's box?
I'm guessing it was Pandora's box and, you know, the sins and envy and... Although, I don't know how the mother box equates to sins. Would the sins just be things that came through from the apocalypse?
Yeah, that I don't understand. And I guess we'll learn a little bit more when we see the third issue of the Pandora title, which, by the way, is actually a miniseries.
Oh, okay.
It's not an ongoing.
Well, so that makes sense then.
Far more sense. Next issue will be the last issue of that.
Okay.
And Firestorm realizes what is hurting Superman and why he's dying, essentially. There's a tiny piece of kryptonite in his brain. And how did it get there? Well, we learned that Adam put it there. And so she is a traitor, not only in terms of Waller, but we'll learn even more of a traitor. And that Cyborg is somehow become a traitor, too, because he gets pulled apart to create Grid, a robot.
Well, so his cybernetic parts have an intelligence of their own.
And
it's not Vic, it's the cybernetic parts of Vic.
Exactly.
So but that was a really gross scene.
Yeah. It just kind of pulled all the various cybernetic components off of him. The Outsider appears and opens Pandora's box. So the doorway opens and he says, "The butler did it." And based on the artwork at this point, it's very apparent who he is.
Yes.
And they never actually say who, they don't give his name, but it's obvious who he is. And this dark version of Aquaman comes through the doorway and promptly dies. Xanadu realizes what this whole Trinity has been about. It's not about the three leagues. It's about Earth 3. Dun, 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 dun.
Ooh.
And the new crime champions come through the doorway. Now, the crime champions, Johns loves this idea of mining Silver Age stuff. This was a Silver Age concept where there was an Earth that was evil instead of good as a default, and so there were versions of the JLA members, but they're bad guys. The crime champions are Ultraman, which is the Superman analog, Owlman, the Batman analog, Superwoman, the Wonder Woman analog, Power Ring, Green Lantern, and Johnny Quick, Flash, along with new member Deathstorm, who's the Firestorm equivalent. And I love one particular touch in the artwork. Again, the double splash page for this. Superwoman's barbed wire lasso. And we learned that the Atom is actually Atomica of Earth 3, and she's Johnny Quick's girlfriend.
So was there an Atomica before?
No, this is a new character.
Well, then that makes sense that nobody knew who she was.
Right. The Outsider bows to his master, who is Owlman slash Thomas Wayne of Earth 3. So we now know, and as predicted on the boards, the Outsider is the Earth 3 Alfred.
So why would Alfred have been sucked through to the other universe?
Who knows? Maybe Owlman decided it was too dangerous to try himself, so he sent his lackey.
Okay.
And the bad guys bring along this hooded prisoner, who we don't learn who that is, and we will, I'm sure. The crime champions attack in the last panel, and this will be continued in Forever Evil, which is a miniseries that's flowing out of Trinity War. And, of course, the infamous Villain Month issues coming next month. The Villain Month issues are going to be replacing all of the regular titles for the month of September. They all have these 3D lenticular covers, which, according to what I was talking to our dealer this week, he said he's already heard reports that the 3D covers are prone to cracking.
Oh, boy.
So not only will there not be enough copies, but some will be damaged.
So are you getting the 3D covers?
I'm getting some of them.
And do they cost more?
Yeah, they cost $1 more.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't care.
Right.
But
they will cost more, yeah.
I just thought that first they were only going to do those, right?
Right. And now they're doing 3D and 2D versions because of the huge screw-up that DC did.
So I was thinking it would be a real bummer for them to raise the price of everything for the month when they had intended to do all lenticular covers.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people probably wouldn't have bought them at all.
Right. Probably. But now they want to because now they'll be quasi-rare, supposedly. We'll see what actually happens.
Well, the people who can't afford them, but then the other people will want to go for the flat ones. They'd rather not spend the extra money.
Right, that they didn't know existed until after they had already ordered the 3D copies.
Or not ordered anything because they didn't want to pay extra.
Right. Adventures of Superman number 4 by Abnett, Lanning, DeFalco, Williams, Weston, Craig, and Woods. This is a digital first title, which is outside of the main continuity, which I think really helps the title a lot because it doesn't have all the baggage.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm starting to prefer the digital first titles.
I have to say I am, too. They're certainly better written than most, if not all, of the New 52. There are three stories here. First one is a day in the life of Luthor. We see his day. He blackmails a rival company into a buyout. He hands some tech to the government in exchange for a kind of hands-off policy so they don't take him to jail. He fires a group of scientists just to enjoy their reactions, completes a death ray, screws over Gorilla Grodd in an arms deal, blows off a date, all while Superman is fighting one of his robots. And then Luthor throughout is writing up more ways to kill Clark. He literally has a notebook like, well, this is number 46,512 of how I'm going to kill Superman. I thought a cute story.
Yes, it was. But, you know, if he's so intelligent, he just has that one little spot that doesn't have that he's too emotional about. Is that it, do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Second story is Deniers. It's about two guys talking at a diner, and one is a conspiracy theorist. He's convinced that Superman is a scam that the government created to keep us cowed. The only thing he apparently believes in, there's one sequence where the other guy says, even you have to admit Wonder Woman is pretty spectacular. And his response is, no argument. Throughout, we see Superman fighting bad guys, and at the end, Clark Kent walks into the diner, and the denier says hi to him because he's his neighbor. Again, a very cute story. The artwork is rather cartoony, I thought, but it works with that story. The third story is The Savior. This is told from Ma Kent's point of view, and she, of course, still considers him her little boy. We see him fighting Brainiac in space. Then he checks in to do some chores at the farm. He saves Lois from a death trap. And in four panels, we see him fighting flying monkeys with Adam Strange. He and Diana fight Despero. He stops President Bizarro and a giant Luthor robot, and then stops by the fortress, which has some great artifacts, including the infamous Supermobile.
Yes, because why does Superman need a car?
Well, there's a good reason for that, because there's a point in the 70s, and I actually have these issues, where something happens to Earth's sun, and he stops getting his powers. And so for like a 2-month period, he has to still be Superman. So he builds this flying car that can simulate his powers.
Huh.
Now, this was all in order to generate a Supermobile toy.
Yes, I would imagine so.
And then in the end, he stops by for dinner at the farm.
Which is all Martha really wanted.
Exactly. The artwork is very expressive, almost photorealistic, I thought. And again, it's great to read Superman stories without the current continuity in there.
I know I complain about continuity all the time, but I really do enjoy these stories mm-hmm. where you know you don't have to go on 5 or 6 issues to get a resolution. And
you can read them with virtually no knowledge of Superman and enjoy them. And at the same time, the real fans can go, there's a reference to that, and there's a reference to that.
Right.
But it has nothing to do with the main story.
Yes.
Larfleeze number 3 by Giffen and De Matteis. He continues this crazy, great storyline. And we learn why women call the alien goddess the Wanderer. Because she keeps forgetting her own story. Her mind wanders.
Yes.
I love that. So Stargrave keeps her on track as she tells her story, which is standard Kirby fare about endless cosmic wars. This whole title is basically a loving tribute to Jack Kirby stories. She apparently convinced Larfleeze prior to the current events in this title to sell Stargrave to her. Of course, he doesn't remember it that way. And all she needs to do now is castrate him or change his gender.
Yes, he was very anxious to leave Larfleeze until he heard that.
Yeah, so suddenly he's trying to wake up Larfleeze in order to save him. Larfleeze battles the Wanderer for Stargrave, and they end up disturbing the Leord of the hunt. Larfleeze shoots him to the other end of the universe and then pulls up his constructs in order to fight the Wanderer, but she takes them over and somehow brings them back to life because all the constructs are souls that Larfleeze killed previously.
With the orange ring, and he kind of sucked them into the ring.
Right. So now it's Larfleeze versus his ex-constructs, while Stargrave convinces the Wanderer to let him keep, quote, all 3 legs. I continue to love this title.
Mm-hmm.
It is so goofy. Angel in Faith, Season 9, Number 25 from Dark Horse by Gage and Isaacs. So this is the conclusion of the current arc and Season 9 of the title. These titles are trying to continue the existing television series.
Right, and so they do have a definite beginning and a definite end, and now we're learning they have a hiatus.
Right. So Angel gets the bad guy Whistler to realize what the magic orb is doing because all the civilians around are being mutated. And Whistler says it's worth it in order to return magic to the Earth. Angel convinces him otherwise, and then Whistler sacrifices himself in order to stop it, which to me was kind of like ending this arc with kind of a whimper, the big battle, and then it's just like, oh, okay, I won't do the bad thing.
Yes.
So Angel and company help the mutated and wounded in the area. Faith announces she's leaving because she can't handle what everyone else has sacrificed just for her. And she decides she's going to work for Kennedy and the Slayers for Hire group, which has been a storyline over in the Buffy title. A revived Giles, who's now a child, is going with her because he wants to go find Buffy. this magic city, as they're referring to it now, remains, and Angel decides he's going to fight for the people of this, basically the mutants have been created by this magic. And we're going to assume the title will become just Angel next season. There's no word on season 10 other than it's happening. We don't have a date yet as to when that's going to come back, but I doubt it'll be that long.
Well, maybe a month or two.
Exactly. Unwritten number 52 from Vertigo by Carrie Gross, Willingham, and Buckingham. The Unwritten Fables continues. A rescued Bigby has nothing to really help Totenkinder, because that was all her plan, to rescue Bigby, and then he would know some sort of secret about Mr. Dark.
He would have learned something while he was being tortured.
But it turned out he didn't. Ozma and not Hermione train. Dark is looking in on them because as they left, they swiped this artifact. And because any artifact that Dark has, Dark always knows where it is.
He can listen in.
Right.
I'm surprised that Ozma didn't realize that when not Hermione showed her the thing.
You would think so. Snow wants Dark to sweep in and just kill them all, but he wants to be more cautious. So he pulls up Lizzie and Pullman's corpses in order to learn all, and he and we get some backstory. And I guess this was maybe for Fables readers who didn't necessarily read Unwritten, just to kind of bring them up to speed to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
And Pullman wants to help Dark get Tommy, of course. Totenkinder and Bigby go to the North Wind to ask for help. He refuses, like he always does. And Totenkinder brings the Fables together and admits she's essentially stumped. But Bigby rallies the troops. And then suddenly, Lizzie and Boy Blue arrives.
Didn't I predict Boy Blue?
You certainly did. And they ask to be let in through the magical gate or the field. And Totenkinder refuses because she's like, we can't prove who you are. But Tommy kind of recognizes Lizzie, and so he goes ahead and opens the gate. And of course, Blue is working for Dark, and a magical battle ensues. The adult Tommy is seen in kid Tommy's glasses, which is what Dark really wanted to know, who this Tommy really was. So now he knows who to look for, this adult Tommy. But he's got bigger fish to fry because he's learned about all the unwritten worlds. So all of those continuities are like, oh, great, now I can take those over as well.
What about all the Fables worlds? Why hasn't he been working on them? It seems like he's still on Earth, or is he?
It sounds like he's already taken most of those over.
So he's like Geppetto now.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, essentially. All right, before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly?
Yep.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Movie related?
No.
TV related?
Yes.
Is it one TV show?
Yes.
Is it a new TV show?
No.
So it's an existing show on one of the broadcast networks?
Yes.
On ABC?
No.
On CBS?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a comedy?
Yes.
Ooh, okay. Comedy.
I'm pretty sure it's CBS.
Okay. And let's see. Okay, how is there two people on the cover?
More.
There are four people on the cover.
More.
Five?
Yes.
Five people on the cover. Okay. Let's see. Well, that goes down to... Not. It wouldn't be Big Bang Theory.
No.
No. Is it How I Met Your Mother?
It is!
Oh! Oh, my goodness.
Because it's their last season.
Oh, right. Okay.
So they're doing a season-all recap.
Gotcha.
I won't make you guess who the five people are, because I know you could guess. That's pretty easy.
Yeah. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn. Follow us on Twitter at SFPPN or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.